Tonight, James fucks the man, Mike washes his toilet paper, and we have explosive diarrhea.
JamesIsRawPunk.com.
And this is Couch Potato Mike. I guess you guys never know when I'm actually going to be on the show these days.
Nope, they don't. Oh my god. I'm going to go through all of our old podcasts one time, extract sound bites from you, encode it into a soundboard, so I can have like Couch Potato Mike drops occasionally, and like just trick people into like, I'll make a mechanical like Couch Potato Mike to like co-host when you're not here, like, and this is Couch Potato Mike. Mike, how are you doing? I am good.
That was fucking horrible.
I know. Just have like random like sound drops like, how are you doing, Mike? Booyah! That doesn't make sense. Booyah! Come on now! Speaking of which, how have you been?
I've seen that movie. Booyah!
Oh, yeah.
No, I've been alright. Been doing really doing a lot better on my diabetes. They switched me over to this medication. They took me off of the metformin and put me on Invokamet.
No, keep taking the metformin.
Well, I am still taking metformin, but I'm taking Invokamet, which is metformin plus another drug in one pill.
Oh.
And since I switched over to that, plus my dieting and everything, my sugar has been under 140 for about damn near 2 weeks now.
Sweet.
Yep.
Sweet.
Most of the time, it's under 120.
Yeah.
And a few times, I've actually hit double digits, which makes me happy.
Yeah. Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
And how often have you been doing that trick that I told you just to take a tablespoon of coconut oil before you go to bed?
I've been trying to do it every night, but some nights I forget, because it's right before bed.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, about half the time.
All right, so it may or may not have an effect.
No, usually the morning after the night that I take that, that's when it dips into double digits.
Okay. That's what my hypothesis was. So it's good to see that I am correct. Possibly. I mean, we're just willy-nilly throwing shit out there.
I used to listen to his music all the time, willy-nilly.
Really?
Yeah. Especially after he was in that movie, The Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh. Willie Nelson. I don't know if I told you guys, but I bought a grill. I love it. I've been grilling out some food. I bought the cheapest roast they had at the store down the street the other day, the CB store. It was like $238, $250.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. It was like an inch thick. Not very well marbled. Had a little bit of marbling. I got it home. I cut it straight down the middle in half. Like, you'd butterfly it open, but I finished it.
Yeah.
So it was two steaks. I salted top and bottom of both steaks, let them sit for about 40 minutes,
mm-hmm.
Washed the salt off, seasoned them, put them on the grill. Oh my god!
I'm still wanting to get some fucking skirt steaks and try that Alton Brown recipe of cooking straight on the coals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so wanting to do
that. I'm firing the grill up today, so if you find one while we're out, we'll throw it straight on the coals.
Yeah, I'll look and see.
I'll get some more charcoal, too, while we're out.
I'm having to go to Wally World anyway. I'll see if they have any skirt steaks over there.
Yeah. They usually do, yeah.
They usually have skirt steaks?
They usually do, I think.
Yeah, I've been so wanting to fucking try that.
So expect some more. I got a video we need to shoot today of you later on, Mike. We're going to finally shoot and put up on YouTube Couch Potato Mike's prison match video. And so before, like the past, I don't know, almost 2 years, over a year and a half, I've been on satellite internet, which has been kind of crippling for me, coming from unlimited internet to having to, like, make do with, like, 10 gigabytes. Like, uploading podcasts was kind of, actually, it was taking a lot of my data, but it went faster than it does now. Like, now uploading the podcast takes, like, 30 minutes instead of, like, 2 minutes. But I don't, like, eat up my data because I'm not even touching it, really. I got to go back to Netflix. Yay. I get to watch YouTube again. Yay! If you have a YouTube channel that you think I should check out, send me a link, jamesrawpunk.com. And I just... It's nice to be able to, like... Since I have a website business, it's nice to be able to, like, do stuff on the web without, like... Oh, am I using too much data? Oh, I better hold off on that.
I saw that one episode of Star Trek where Tasha used plenty of data.
Oh, yeah.
Giggity.
I wish they'd make a new Star Trek TV show.
They are making a new Star Trek TV show.
They are?
Yeah. They really are. CBS is.
Oh, CBS is dumb. I hate them.
CBS is where, like, Star Trek The Next Generation originally aired before it got switched over to Fox.
I never remember it being on there. I only remember it being on Fox.
No, and they still own the rights to the reruns of it. So, I mean, a lot of times they'll put Star Trek TNG on, like, in the middle of the night.
Hmm. Odd. I just know that they have a bad habit of canceling. Well, that's every one of those channels. Pretty sure my favorite show this past season, Limitless, is going to get canceled. Just because, like, they're dumb.
Star Trek, the original series, it was on CBS. It was a CBS show.
Oh, yeah. I knew that.
Yeah.
But it only lasted, like, what, one or two seasons?
It's funny how the Star Trek shows, they get their starts on various channels. Like, some got their... Voyager, it was, like, fucking... It wasn't on... Next Generation primarily ran on Fox.
It was on, like, UPN or something.
Yeah, it was on UPN. Yeah, Voyager was, like, on fucking UPN or whatever eventually became the fucking CW. And fucking, you go... Deep Space Nine started on Fox. Next Generation started on CBS and then moved over to Fox.
Yeah.
So... I'm not sure where the fuck, I think Enterprise started on UPN, too.
Possibly, I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which, I've given that show every single chance I can give, over and over, and I just, like, I hate it.
Long road.
I don't know, I tried to watch it when it first came out, I got a few episodes in, and then I saw random episodes throughout the years, because it lasted a fairly long time.
No, it didn't.
It lasted more than two seasons.
Barely more than two seasons. I think it got canceled after its third season.
Three seasons is still a pretty long time for...
It was as long as the original series.
Okay.
But all the other ones, like Voyager, Deep Space Nine, and Next Generation, all ran for 7 years.
Yeah. Voyager was really good. Anyway, what do we got coming up today? Catch you in a mic.
We are doing a special money-saving how to be a cheap-ass mofo episode.
I like that. I like being a cheap-ass mofo.
We're going to be telling you all sorts of little tips and hacks and stuff like that where you can start saving money. And why do you want to save money?
To prep better.
To prep better, yes. You need to have savings. It's very fucking important that you actually have money back because you never know when that emergency is going to pop the fuck up.
Yeah. So, there's lots of reasons to have money saved. There's lots of reasons to save money. Every tip may not work for you. You pick and choose what you want, and you implement what you can. Which is weird, because me and Mike are both tightwads.
Yeah.
But we both have the things that we're willing to spend money on to break our tightwaddedness. Like,
yep.
And we kind of razz each other about it, but it's like, that's just our thing. Like, I am cheap in a lot of areas, but... I like to spend money on food. I mean, high-quality food. Like, I still buy, like, grass-fed beef and steaks and stuff.
And I will still splurge for, like, Blu-rays and DVDs sporadically.
Which is weird, because, I mean, that's all the... You guys can't see it, but my DVD rack is fairly small. I can't... The last time I bought a DVD was for Deadpool. And before that, it had probably been years.
Yeah.
To me, it's just like, oh, you know, I'll download it usually, unless I overwhelmingly want to own it because I never watch them.
Occasionally, I'll splurge for a fucking new cube.
Yeah.
I collect Rubik's Cubes. I don't know if I ever discussed that on the show before, that I collect Rubik's Cubes?
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I collect Rubik's Cubes of various types. I've got not an insanely impressive collection, but I have 2x2s and 3x3s, 4x4s, 5x5s, and my Mega Minx and Void Cubes and all this stuff. So basically, if any of our listeners out there have like any like old puzzle cubes or whatever that you don't want anymore, send them to me, and I will put you in the credits.
Yeah, I spend money.
I'll even
for
make
smart
credits
drugs
just
shit,
to put you
so,
in them. What?
So I spend money on smart drugs and shit.
Yeah, you do.
And it makes me happy. So anyway, You're going to have things that you will do and be like, well, fuck you guys. I'm going to keep doing this. Okay, we'll pick and choose what you want. And we're also, I think, going to throw in a little bit of a nutrition punk for you guys. And then we'll wrap this bitch up like a tortilla.
Yep. Wrapped up like a
burrito. Yeah. So, jumping right into it. Where are my notes? Reducing bills. So, you can save a lot of money by paying less on the bills that you have to pay. And I like to sort of minimize the amount of bills that I have, so I don't have, like, lots of bills for everything. And reducing those bills. So, one of the things that I've done on occasion, and even here recently,
mm-hmm.
is you call up, and I hate calling, but sometimes you have to call. Sometimes you can't messenger. You can't do that. Contact the people that you have your bill through. Like, for me, Dish Network recently. Harass them for discounts or bonuses or benefits and stuff. Like, just harass them and talk to different people. And if they're not really playing ball, you can ask to speak to their... Pretty much every big company will have a loyalty department, a customer retention department, whose sole job is to not let you leave as a customer.
Yep.
Yeah. If you get in touch with them, they'll usually throw stuff your way. Sometimes getting quotes from their competitors and bringing that to the table will help scare them. Like, oh, you're only willing to go to so-and-so, but Jim Bob over here is going to go at this price. Can you match that? Oh, yeah, I guess we can.
Yeah, I actually did that. I did a little bit of that with when I was changing car insurance about a year ago. I went to my old car insurance because they kept trying to jack up my fucking bill. I mean, like, every 3 months my bill got higher and higher, and I'm like, no, we're not doing this. So I immediately started calling around and getting quotes for all these other companies. Then I called them. I'm like, look, my bill's getting too high. Is there any discounts you can give me to reduce it? And they're like, no, there's no you're basically at our lowest rate. I'm like, well, it's like this. Such and such company that rhymes with HEICO said that they can give me the exact same coverage that you're giving me for $50 less. And I quoted them the price.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm giving you guys the chance to match that. If you can match that, I will stay with you. If not, I'm going with them. And I stuck to my guns. Of course, I now have new insurance because they didn't want to play ball.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to name names, but the company's name rhymes with regressive.
Yeah. Which, sometimes they will not play ball. In that case, yeah, just move companies. Fuck them.
Actually, right? And then I switched again because the one that rhymes with HEICO.
Yeah.
They fucked up and billed me like 3 days in a row for a month.
Oh.
Yeah. They had this huge thing. Their system got hacked or whatever. Big glitch. And they, like, fucking zapped, like, over 10,000 of their customers with, like, redundant bills, like, a couple of days in a row, and then took forever to get the money back in. By the time the money was back in, I'd switched to a company that rhymes with Hate Farms.
Huh. Like Al Bundy, do you have to carry a chicken in the front seat of your car everywhere you go?
No. I don't have to do that. But hell, switching to Hate Farms, I got a lot. I mean, that saved me even more money.
Yeah.
I told them what was going on over here. Plus I can't really afford that. Can you please do better than that? A lot of companies, just to get the business or keep the business, will go out of their way and give you all sorts of discounts.
Yeah. With DirecTV, since I got internet through AT&T.
Dish Network.
DirecTV, I said DirecTV, yeah. Dish Network.
I used to have DirecTV.
So I got the internet from AT&T. I no longer needed Dish Network's internet and TV, so I called them up to cancel. Apparently, I had a 2-year contract, and I had, I think, 4 or 5 months left in that contract mm-hmm. when 2 years was up. So it was going to be, like, I think $180 cancellation fee for canceling. Oh, that sucks. So then I was like, well, what if I just cancel the internet and keep the TV? Okay, we'll drop the cancellation fee. And they're like, we can offer you just the TV for $69. No, fuck you, I'm about to hang up. Oh, hold on, we can work another deal. We'll do it for $49. $49? Good lord, that's a lot of money! So then they're like, well, what can you afford? I'm like, really, you know, I'm going to have Netflix. I'm only looking to spend about $20. They're like, What? He's like, okay, fine. $33. And then I'd like do the math. I'm like, $33 times 4 months. I'm still coming out cheaper than I am if I made the cancellation fee. Yeah, sure. Why not? I rarely even turn the Dish Network TV on now. But I still save myself $180 cancellation fee.
You know, actually, I have a relatively similar story with DirecTV. At one point, I was pissed off with their services. I mean, and basically, I told them that I called. And I'm like, you know what? I just want to cancel my services. And I wasn't under a contract.
Yeah.
I wasn't under a contract at this point. But I'm like, I just want to cancel my services. Well, why would you? Why are you leaving us today? I'm like, not satisfied. Your bill's too expensive. I'm trying to cut back on money. I'm trying to save money. And frankly, this is one thing I can afford to cut.
Yeah.
Like, well, hold on. Well, what if we give you a better deal? Because I was paying like, I think my thing was like fucking $59.99 a month or whatever, plus the fees and shit like that. And basically, by the time I got off with that, they were so eager to keep my business, they cut me down. They're like, if you keep it for another 6 months, it'll only be $19.99 a month. They gave me like this special introductory price that's only for new customers. And all this shit. And they're like, we'll give you $19.99 a month for six months. And free Showtime and HBO channels. And I'm like,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay, yeah, we can do that.
Yeah.
Well, businesses, I mean, yeah. Giant corporations, even though they have lots and lots of customers, they keep in mind that the reason they have lots and lots of customers is because they, you know.
Yeah.
They don't just fucking say fuck their customers. So they're willing to keep your business.
I got T-Mobile to give me. Oh, I don't think I told you this, but just to wrap this up real quick. Because we're not wrapping things up real quick. Whatever. So I got in my bill for Dish Network for this month from like canceling services and getting credits for canceling services and the bill being so much cheaper, and then a prorated bill from like last month. So my bill for Dish Network for this month is -$22.37.
That is awesome.
And I talked to T-Mobile's customer retention centers, like a couple different people, bounced back and forth. And I basically got them to give me an upgrade for free, just paying the taxes on that. So that was like $60 to upgrade to the amazing Samsung Galaxy S7. But I had like the customer retention people offer me a bribe of $100 credit to do the upgrade. So So not only did I get them to like waive the fee so that I could get an upgrade, I mean, just make my bill go up $20 a month or whatever, which it was already at that $20 premium, so I'm used to paying that. And I got them to throw in a $100 credit, meaning that my total bills for this month was like $9.50.
That is fucking awesome.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do that all the time, but sometimes it's good to stack those things together and
you end up with free paychecks that way.
Yeah, you end up with free paychecks to buy stuff and to save money. So, there you go.
Now, there's other ways that you can reduce, like, household bills. Like your electric bill. You're pretty much an expert on that shit.
Yeah.
It's basically like consolidating your electric use. Like, for a very good example, you told me this. You did this a while back when you were living at the apartment. Your electric bill.
It's the water heater?
Yeah, you managed to get your electric bill down to, like,
$11 was the cheapest I ever got it.
Right. And this was like in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
You'd think that you'd have heaters running all the time. But you just heated yourself with an electric blanket.
Yeah. Heated myself with an electric blanket. Blocked off the windows so that they're black. It was a black curtain. But on top of the black curtain, I had a black strip of black plastic. So that it would superheat the air between the plastic and the window. Pull air in from the bottom, pull it out through the top. Like, I did all sorts of, like, there were parts of, like, the bathroom was pretty cold, so I had a heater in there that sometimes I'd turn on if I took a shower. But, yeah, and one of the biggest things I did was, so, one, if you have a dishwasher, it's going to eat your electricity.
Oh, God. When I first got my house, it came with a dishwasher. Uh-huh. That son of a bitch jacked my, I don't know if it was a short or whatever, but it just being plugged in was somehow fucking using electricity. And I watched my fucking electric bill go from 150. The next month it was 250. The next month it was 350. I'm like, I gotta do something. So I start fucking going through that. So I get my wife in there by the breakers. I'm out by the damn meter. Back when it wasn't all digital.
It was spinning.
Still had the, the spinny thing. And I saw the spinny wheel. It was going round and round. Going fucking like a bat out of hell. I'm like, turn off one breaker at a time and see what happens. Yeah. And she's flipping off breakers. She flips off a breaker. I'm like, okay, do the next one. She flips that one back off. Finally, she flips off one breaker, and the thing goes from like 100 miles an hour to 2. I mean, it's going, rear, rear, rear. And I'm like, what was that? And she's like, it's the dishwasher. I'm like, leave that off.
Yeah.
The next month, my electric bill, $68.
There you go.
It was causing me $300 a month, damn near.
Yeah. There's two other ways to do the next trick I know that would probably be convenient for you, because it's a lot of wasted energy that you could be saving. Like, it's so the one of the, like, people are all like, oh, you know what? People are like, oh, go change your light bulbs. You'll save lots of money. Don't do that. That's a waste of fucking time. Just, like, it, like annually, like, changing your light bulbs to CFLs or LEDs might save you $2.
Pretty much.
We're talking about saving hundreds and thousands.
Yeah.
Not hundreds of thousands, but hundreds and thousands. I wish I could tell you just how to save $100,000 a year.
Oh, God.
Or make that. The hot water heater. The hot water heater sucks up a lot of energy. And a lot of that energy is useless. As in, it brings it up to the temperature that you set it at, and then it maintains it at that temperature all the time.
Yep.
Even though, like, so you could insulate it. And I did that in my apartment where I wrapped it in extra insulation, like the biggest, like R30 or something. Like, I wrapped it all around it in R30, and that gives you a little bit extra time. But still, you could either, what I used to do is turn the breaker off to the hot water heater.
Yep.
Turn it off. I knew that, like, 1 hour before I took a shower, which is about how long it took to bring it up to, like, operating temperature,
I'd flip the
breaker on, yeah.
Let the water heat up.
Take my shower, turn it off. Most of the time, like, in an apartment by myself, I'm not home that much. Like, I mean, so it's just being heated and wasted all the time. Like, that made a huge impact in my electric bill, you know, but for a single guy, that's a little bit easier.
Didn't you turn off all the breakers except for, like, your fucking refrigerator when you weren't there or something like that?
No, I didn't. I didn't go that, because I didn't want to, like, reset my stuff, but I did. I kept the breaker to the dishwasher off all the time. I kept the hot water heater off all the time.
That is one way to do it, if you don't mind resetting, like, clocks and stuff
At hardware stores, they sell a device to put it on a timer, so you don't have to even think about your hot water heater. Like, you know, if you take a shower every time at this time, bam, 1 hour before that, preheat it, take it, you don't even think about it.
Now, another way, and this one actually requires a bit of investment up front, but it will wind up saving you a lot of money in the long run, switch to a tankless water heater. It literally just, it's when it's not being used, it sits there. But when you're trying to use hot water, it kicks on, it immediately starts heating up the water as it moves through the pipe. No tank, and there you go. Yeah. I mean, it's a bigger, it's more expensive up front, but in the long run, it will knock a lot of money off that electric bill.
True. When I put the hot water heater into this tiny house, I'm actually going to go with a camping tankless one that runs on propane and, like, one D-cell battery.
Mm-hmm.
So, they use almost no power, and it, you know, you can take long, long showers off of, like, a 20-pound tank.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the problem with a tankless water heater. You never run out of hot water.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't. Now, a lot of people would say, now, one thing I would say, in the event of an emergency, it is good to have a tank water heater.
Because it holds, like, that many gallons of water.
Yeah. I mean, that you can always tap into in an emergency.
Yeah.
But anyway, but I think I hope these little tips have helped you. And on that bombshell, it's time to move on to our next subject.
Yeah, food. So, Mike, how do you save money on food?
How do I save money on food? I shop at the cheaper off-brand grocery stores.
Yeah.
Like Aldi's. Where I shop at Aldi's, I will even get food sometimes for, like, the Dollar Tree, because they have small things in there that are actually pretty good.
The Dollar Tree also has some things that are fucking disgusting.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying everything they have there is, like, fucking, like, a delicate, you know, a delicacy, but yeah,
like, their $1 ribeye steaks in the frozen food section?
I don't look at those.
No.
That's like a meat coaster, and it's about as
thin as ice cream is gross, too. Like, most of the ice cream I've tried from there is gross.
No, but I like going to Aldi's. You actually find a lot of interesting stuff in there, and, I mean, it's, all of it's, like, off-brand. I mean, everything's off-brand, I mean, but one thing most of you should know this by now. The vast majority of generics are made by the exact same people that make the name brand shits.
Yeah.
It just hasn't met their higher qualities and standards like generic Cheerios. That'll have rougher edges and occasionally a nut from the machine will fall off in there, but still.
Yeah. And Aldi's actually high up on my list of places to shop now. Like, Aldi's is expanding their organic and high quality line of stuff.
Yeah, they have a high
good price. Like, they have grass fed beef. I mean, it's still about average price of like $5.99-ish per pound, but for grass-fed, grass-finished beef, that's not bad. That's where I buy my coffee from now, because they have fair trade organic coffee, $2.99 a bag.
See, and Aldi's, I mean, hell, their whole company knows how to fucking save money.
Yeah.
They save money on employees right off the bat by making you return your own cart by putting a 25-cent deposit in it to get the damn thing.
Exactly.
They charge for bags, but they'll let you take all the boxes off the shelves, that way to pack your groceries in, you can have those damn things for free.
Yeah.
And plus, that gets rid of stuff that they no longer have to deal with. Because they would have to fucking, crush those boxes, other words, and they have to crush those boxes, take them off, whatever, and that costs time and money. They can run the whole fucking store at any given time with no more than 3 employees.
Yeah. And, well...
I mean, because that's the thing, the cashiers don't always, I mean, if there's nobody in the line... They don't sit there. They go stock.
Yeah.
They multitask.
They do. So, yeah. They're cheap. They're good quality. So one of the things that I started doing was if you go to some of these smaller chain, like, or mom and... They're all chains. I mean, all your smaller grocery stores, not your big, like, Kroger and Food Lion and whatnot... When they mark down their meat in these small places, and they mark down anything, when they mark down their stuff, they mark them down to, like, a good price. Like
the CB store in Charlotte
exactly.
That has a discount meat section.
I went there this morning, actually.
Oh, what'd you get?
I got, I think it was 2 pounds of ground beef for $2.
Oh, see, look at that.
And I bought 2 ribeye steaks to throw on the grill. 2 ribeye steaks for... $8.
Oh, God. What about the time you got the filet mignons from there? How much were those damn things? I mean, you know...
I paid, like, between $4 and $7 for filet mignon.
How many filet mignons were there?
2.
There was 2... And how
that's
much were
that? $24, like...
Yeah, that's an expensive fucking cut of beef right there.
Yeah. I pan-cooked it and gave one of them to Mike, and Mike was like, oh, like you take your fork and just cut it with your fork.
Oh, I like going in there and finding a fucking New York strip every now and then. They'll get marked down. And that's always, my favorite. I love the New York strip.
I looked earlier and all I saw was the ribeye and some crappy like top rounds and some sirloin. And I'm like, I just get the ribeyes.
You know, speaking of steaks, I recently Walmart started selling these like boxes of frozen steaks, and it's like 5 steaks in a box, and it's like less than $10. Now, I will steer people away from the sirloin, because those are really little cuts, and I'm like, it's not worth it. But I was very pleasantly surprised by the box of New York strips.
Were they good?
Each steak in there was just as big as a New York strip you'd get off the fucking shelf. I mean, the same size. They were really good. And there's 5 of them for $10. I mean, normally, that would be like $50 worth of meat in a restaurant.
Yeah.
If not more.
It's probably not the same brand, but one time I tried a box of frozen ribeye steaks from Walmart, and they were all gristly and gross, and I'm like, they were thin, gristly, and gross, and I'm like, whatever.
You got to steer clear with some of these things.
Yeah.
Now, one other tip, and I've seen personal experience on this. This is actually coming from a lady that I work with. She doesn't listen to this show. I don't even think she knows the show exists. I don't have to keep it that way.
Yeah.
But... Couponing, or extreme couponing, is a fantastic way to save you money. Now, this woman I work with, we'll call her Angie, she has gone to a store, left there with over $500 worth of food and groceries and stuff like that, and literally, with her couponing skills, had that store give her $1.35. Over $500 worth of stuff, and she walked out with more money than she had when she went in, all from couponing. Now, extreme couponing is very time-consuming.
It is. It's like a full-time job, almost.
Basically. I mean, because you can't just do it with, like, oh, you get a one Sunday paper and you get the coupons. No.
You're getting multiples.
I mean, I've seen extreme couponers go into, like, the newspaper recycling bins, start grabbing things, work out deals with, like, the fucking mail distributors to get all those coupons extra. I mean, multiples and multiples of this. Then you got to find out what stores are having sales, where they're doing double and triple coupons, right, stuff like that. I mean, you basically have to plan. I mean, you have to plan out this whole shopping trip. This is not something you can do on the fly. You plan out this whole shopping trip. She's got a binder that is 3 inches thick. You know those plastic sheets that you put collector cards in?
Yep.
Those. I mean, she's got hundreds of those full of fucking coupons. I mean, she never goes anywhere without that damn binder. Yeah. On her lunch break at work, she'll sit there clipping coupons and all this shit, planning everything out. But, I mean, one thing people will down on extreme couponing is, oh, you wind up buying a bunch of stuff you don't even want or need. I'm like, yeah, but you're getting it for free, essentially. And you have to do that to get the stuff that you actually want and need. Because, I mean, the way extreme couponing works, so you think, oh, I don't see how you're getting, like, $1,000 worth of stuff for $5, which has happened plenty of fucking times.
Yeah.
But it's basically, it's hacking the system in a way. Like, you're getting... Perfect, Jordan. He damn near clobbered himself with the side of your cabinet.
Yeah.
He pulled it down on him. Now he's all jumpy and skittish. You'll, like, smell my finger.
Silly kitty.
But basically, you got a coupon for a product, okay? That says, you know, $2 off this product. You go to the store that is now... You go to the store with 50 of these coupons, get 50 of those. Whoa! You picked the store that's now having triple coupon days. So basically, you're making 50 cents now on every single one of those you buy, which will be then applied in the computer system toward your grocery bill in total.
Right.
That's how it keeps going down like that. I mean, it's fucking insane, but that is a great way to cut down on your groceries bill or eliminate it completely. But like I said, be prepared to spend a lot of time.
Yeah.
Invest a lot of time doing that.
And there's some websites that can help you, like Coupon Mom's website was like, get this coupon, hold it for this amount of time. Because a lot of times you got to plan them. Like the week that the coupons come out, the store sometimes will raise the price on merchandise.
Yeah.
So you have to wait until the price goes down to make the most use of that coupon.
Oh, yeah.
There's weird finagling, like, but yeah, these websites are like, take this coupon, hold it for now, and this is the best time to use it, and stack it with this one. Like, some of them help you out a little bit. Let's see. What else?
Saw one episode of, because there's actually this show called Extreme Couponing. This woman drug her husband at the store with her.
Poor bastard.
$1,200 worth of groceries in 3 carts brimming. The total they paid on it, $15. For over $1,200 worth of fucking shopping.
Yeah. So if you can do that, more power to you. I can't. Which, to be honest, a lot of things I do consume do not have coupons for them regularly. I mean, yeah, shaving cream and whatnot. And I just got a coupon in the mail. I got to use it today. You got to remind me. I got to use it today. I got a coupon for a Gillette razor for free.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, I've got a straight razor that I use, but, you know, I use the Gillette razor sometimes for trimming and stuff, but for free, why not? It's like a $9 value.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, so getting stuff on clearance, using coupons. If you're feeling really frisky, you can dumpster dive in some good local grocery stores. The big ones will compact them. You can't get to them. I saw a thing on Ninja Warrior where a guy only eats basically dumpster dive food. Like,
I've seen that on the biggest cheapskates.
Yeah, you know, the stuff on top, whatever. That's if you're into that, you'll have to research some of the dumpster diving like stuff and do it. I've only gotten GNC products from the dumpster before.
Oh my god!
Here, I got these mystery peels. Let's try these, Mike.
Oh,
no, James, no.
No.
How else do you save money on food? Yeah, I mean, just getting stuff that's marked down is what I do usually.
Buying in bulk.
We had that listed later. But yeah, there's a lot of things you can buy the bigger size of just because it's cheaper. Like, this doesn't necessarily apply correctly, but kind of. So, and I'm not going to list where because I haven't actually had a positive experience yet. As in, like, until my order is complete, I don't want to talk about it. But I ordered 100 modafinil pills off the internet, free shipping for $100, dollar pill. So it, and if I'd bought them in a smaller quantity, it would still be about $100, but I would got like half the amount or less.
Yeah.
So a lot of times buying in bulk, you have to spend more money up front, but it sort of annualizes out to a smaller bill.
Yeah.
So
going to places like Sam's Club and Costco and shit like that, you'll get a shitload of right up front, but it ends up like being so much cheaper per unit.
Yeah.
Like you could fucking buy a gigantic fucking ream of toilet paper and wind up it being like 5 cents a roll.
Right. So be prepared to spend a bit money up front so you can break it down and spend less overall.
And you know, speaking of toilet paper and stuff like that, why don't we just move right into household goods?
Okay. Well, one last thing on food real quick. So a lot of the big part of your food bill, for me especially, is meat. So what I've done is to eat a higher quality meat, grass-fed beef, but I break it up to only being like 3 ounces a day. So a pound of grass-fed beef, $5.99, lasts me 5 days-ish.
Yeah.
So, usually on the fifth day, I eat something else. So like 4 days,
mm-hmm.
which means that I can afford to eat the higher quality beef. I'm not eating too much, and it sort of spreads it out. You know, I add vegetables to bulk it up. So,
oh, you know what? There is one other little tip I'd like to give.
Yarp.
At the grocery store, a great way to turn one meal into three. A lot of times, smaller grocery stores, even some of the bigger ones, even like Walmart, will have like rotisserie chickens, hot ones. Yeah. Now, if you get a hot one, a lot of times it's like $5.99, $6.99, something like that. Don't get it hot. Wait till they put it in the cold case. Right then, boom, $1 comes off of it. And with those rotisserie chickens, you can get like 3, possibly even 4 meals out of that. If you don't eat the whole damn thing at once, like you can make chicken breasts, you can like cut the breasts off, and now you got the breasts to go with something. I mean, you could make sandwiches out of it, just pull the chicken off. I mean, hell, even when you get down to the bones, you got stock for soup.
Yeah, you can make, like the last thing, you can make chicken soup and have stock mm-hmm. left over as well.
Oh, yeah.
Where you shred all the meat off it, and you have some chicken soup with the stock, and then you have extra stock left over, and that bone broth is really good for you.
Now, I got that tip from this guy. He did this experiment where to see if he could literally live on... He found himself in a situation where he qualified for food stamps, but he didn't qualify for much food stamps. It was like $45 a month. He managed to live off that. Spending no other out-of-pocket money on food, he managed to feed himself for $45 a month. And that was one of his tips, was the rotisserie chickens. Because not only when they put them in the cold case, not only they usually knock a buck off, they now qualify for food stamps.
Yeah.
Hot food, no. Cold food, yes. Even if it's literally, they literally just took it out of the hot rack and put it in the cold case.
Oh, and hold on. That reminded me of something else, actually. If you have one in your area and you look around, like I know in sort of East Nashville out by... that won't make no sense. You're about to give, like, redneck, he'll be like, if you go out by the Kmart in West Nashville, and East Nashville, no. There is a place in East Nashville, it's called the Used Bread Store. I forget the name of it, actually. Not Used, the Day Old Bread Store. It's the Day Old Bread Store.
Is it right down there by Briley?
Yeah.
That's not a Day Old Bread Store. That's like Colonial, like, outlet fucking store.
Yes, but a lot of that stuff is like, when they pull it out of the big stores, like, because it expired, it's the next day. Like, they sell it in there for, like, half the price.
Oh, yeah, I've actually bought bread from there before.
Yeah, it's like...
Because it's like, fucking insane. And there'll really be a cheap line.
Yeah, and there's other stuff in there, too, like, you know, like Hostess Debbie cakes and shit like that. Like, whatever... It's like the stuff that the Colonial rep stock, like, their snack cakes will be in there for really cheap. You know, if you're eating bread and you're going to go through it fairly quickly.
And get over the stigma of, like, day-old bread. Think about it. When you buy... How old do you think the bread is that you buy from the fucking store?
Yeah, it's probably, like, 30 days. Cause, I mean, baked goods, unlike what Zombieland would have you believe, will expire and go bad. Even, heaven forbid, Twinkies. They have, like, a 30-day shelf life, to be honest.
But, I mean, goddamn. I mean, even if you fucking buy it the fucking day that the fucking bread truck dropped it at the fucking store... Think about it. Are you going to eat a whole loaf of sandwiches that day? Really? No, most likely the bread's going to sit around your house for a couple of days at least, you know?
Yeah.
So, by the second day, guess what? It's day old and you paid full price for it, dumb fuck.
Yeah. So, if you have one of those near you, by all means, go get your stuff from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, direct fucking factory outlet stores like that, a lot of times can save you good money.
The National Cash and Carry is awesome, but it's pretty much one of those bulk item places. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Household items. We kind of covered one of the things I want to talk about with the hot water heater and saving power money that way. Mm-hmm. You kind of touched on couponing, which is all the things you can coupon for are like shaving cream, dishwashing detergent, laundry detergent. Hold on. Laundry detergent. I've got multiple articles on the website, survivalpunk.com, on how to make laundry detergent with basically three ingredients.
You beat me to the fucking draw on this, because I was about to be like one of the best ways that you could do household savings, DIY.
DIY, yes.
To survive,
yeah. I mean, like, I kind of thought that it would be hard to make your own dishwashing soap, because a lot of things I saw were how to make the liquid soap, and you need like, shit. You need like 60 containers. It makes so much, like, mm-hmm. which in bulk, whatever, you know, it dissolves better. And the liquid stuff in the stores is crazy expensive, and it's like pennies basically to make it home. The stuff I make requires either a Fels Naphtha soap bar mm-hmm. or Dove. A Dove bar will work as well if you want like smoother or whatever. Borax, 20 mule team borax is found on the laundry aisle.
Which is also good to have around if you're fighting Leviathans.
Exactly. And a box of washing soda, which will also be on the laundry detergent aisle on the bottom shelf where no one ever looks. The ingredients, like you basically, like, you get a shredder, whatever, like you're shredding cheese with.
A grater.
You grade the Fels Naphtha bar, you put it in, you mix it with the amounts of the other stuff. You just basically mix them together, shake it up, bam, you just scoop it out like you would your laundry detergent. You can mm-hmm. add smells and fragrances and whatnot. I don't. I just want a clean smell.
Yeah.
And it does. It works perfectly well, and it comes out to like, I don't know, like 30 cents a load or something. It's super cheap.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, laundry detergent is getting fucking expensive, so make it yourself.
No, a friend of my wife's named Monica, she's been making her own laundry detergent for years. Yeah. And basically, she'll end up with what would be like the equivalent of like fucking 10 big boxes of like Gainer Tide.
Yeah.
For like the price of half of one of those boxes.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
I mean, it's fucking psychotic how much money she saves on that. I mean, she's washing clothes for like a family of six.
Yeah.
There's also ways, and I don't know the recipe for this, but there are ways where you can actually make your own deodorant for like a fraction of the price too.
And I don't know that one either.
But there's ways to look it up. World's Biggest Cheapskates. I don't know if the show's still on Netflix or not, but find that. There was this dude on there. He had the fucking recipe where he made his own fucking deodorant, and the applicator for it. I got a kick out of. He used like old toilet paper tubes.
Nice.
Yeah, as the applicator, because you could still push them out.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's funny.
Not everything he did I would fucking go for. That's a great show to learn tips on. But some of the shit's just flat out disgusting.
If you get a spray bottle, just a spray bottle, and you fill it up with like, it's like half and half, like, don't quote me on this, it's like half and half vinegar, just like plain white distilled vinegar and water, and your leftover newspapers from your coupon clipping, uh-huh. and you wash your windows with that, you just spray the vinegar and then wipe them off with newspaper, that's actually the most streak-free thing you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
It's, people are like, newspaper and vinegar, like, I tried it, and your bathroom mirrors, like, will become, like, ridiculous, like, your cats will be bumping their heads into them and shit.
See, newspapers is a great thing to repurpose.
I use newspaper, like, I use newspaper and sometimes, like, junk mail to clean my cast iron with.
There is a newspaper company. Oh, there's this one newspaper. It's over in Europe. I think in maybe Czech Republic, somewhere like that. They actually, as fucking because sales were down for readership, they started basically trying to build their newspaper. It's also a great savings on, like, pet pads and birdcage liners. And it increased their fucking sales.
That's crazy.
Like, don't even read it. Just fucking buy it and use it for other shit.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of paper products, and you've probably heard me talk about this, there's a great way to save on toilet paper.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're going to let me do this, okay?
Yeah.
What you do, cheap two-ply toilet paper is cheap, okay? You get it, And then you start pulling the plies apart. You don't have to pull the whole ply apart, you know, and make two rolls off of it like I've seen people do. But just when you pull out your squares, pull those in half. For some reason, I don't know why, I can't explain the physics behind it. The same length of toilet paper, if one, with only half the plies, still has the same tensile strength that'll hold together, and you can wipe that way. Also, don't be afraid to fold it in half and use both sides. I know ways of getting four wipes out of four squares of toilet paper. And paper towels, depending on what they're used for, can actually be washed and dried and reused up to 8 times.
Speaking of washing and reusing, if you use plastic sandwich baggies, you can actually wash them out and reuse them.
Yes!
A lot. Like,
I've reused them.
Especially if you're just holding things like potato chips or peanuts or whatever. Like,
yeah, if you're dry items, I mean, hell, even your sandwich.
Yeah. Yeah, especially your sandwich. Like, you just knocked crumbs out, whatever.
I made a supply of 10 of those damn things one time last fucking 6 months.
Yeah. I hardly ever use them, so I don't really worry about them too much. But a lot of the stuff that I would put in sandwich baggies, I kind of just put in mason jars and just wash them out.
Mason jars are awesome. I mean, they're infinitely reusable. Dry, exactly. Wet, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
Many uses.
Actually thinking we might have to put this into it. This might actually have to be a 2-part episode.
Oh, really? What's our time looking like?
We're almost coming up on an hour.
Goddamn, really? I thought this was going to be short.
No, we're
only on the third fucking thing, dude.
45 minutes, yeah.
We dipped into that one a little bit, but basically we've done this, and yeah, we're only up here.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Let's just leave the rest of this for next time.
I think
time.
We still have a few of this to wrap up.
A few of this? Okay, yeah, well, yeah. We'll wrap up household stuff, then we'll jump into the fucking thing.
Yeah, the
and then we got to wrap up.
God, I know I had some more on the top of my head, like...
I completely derailed you.
Well, yeah, I noticed the time ran long.
Don't you love how we just talk about how we're going to do the show in the middle of the show, like what we should be doing before the show? People get to see our warts and all.
Yeah. So, one of the things I kind of did, because it was cheaper, was I quit buying sort of disinfectant wipes or, like, wet wipes for, like, kitchen use.
Mm-hmm.
And I just use the paper towels that I have anyway and a big jug of, like, isopropylene alcohol.
I knew you were going to say isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you're using, like, for disinfecting and wiping down surfaces, I just use that. And instead of the price difference between that and, like, wet wipes is so, like, vast.
Oh, incidentally, I've got another money-saving tip that involves isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah.
Isopropyl alcohol can be used to refill a Zippo lighter, and it works just fine.
Well, there you go.
And it's a lot cheaper. I mean, you can get a big thing of isopropyl alcohol for $1, as opposed to a smaller thing of Zippo fluid for like $5.
Yeah.
I mean, it will work. It's not going to tear up your lighter like high-grade alcohol. I mean, hell, you can technically run a fucking Zippo lighter off of like fucking pure grain alcohol.
Yeah. Speaking of pure grain alcohol or alcohol, you should listen to our show on making booze, because if you make your own stuff, I mean, if you distill your liquor, then it's a whole different matter. But if you make things like hard cider and stuff like we talked about, it's really cheap, it's super easy, and you save the syntax. So fuck the man. Yep. Don't pay your taxes. Which I want to talk about probably in episode 2 of this, I guess, where we, anytime you can avoid paying taxes on stuff, you save money.
Yep.
Anything else for household?
Nothing that I can think of.
Cleaners. Vinegar cleans everything.
You know, as far as toiletry goes, I can't stress enough the value of buying, like, instead of buying a bottle of shampoo and a bottle of conditioner and a bottle of body wash, go to Dollar Tree or whatever has in your... They'll sell big bottles of, like, 3-in-1. I mean, because basically... There's really not that much difference between shampoo and body wash.
Yeah, unless you're a prissy-ass girl, then, I mean...
Fuck you, just buy the 3-in-1 anyway. You're still going to come out smelling great. And guess what? Because they amazingly make the 3-in-1s for, like, a men's scent, use it anyway. Men like the smell of the stuff that they use for men's scenting. Women like the smell of perfume. Men like the smell of cologne. By all rights, to attract the opposite sex, you'd think they'd switch them.
You would think, but it doesn't work. Cheap toothpaste and healthier for you. I just use baking soda.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an old trope, but it's true.
Yeah. Do you want to whiten your teeth? As funny as this sounds, you can use charcoal. Not the stuff you put in your grill, but if you make a fire outside and there's wood left over and there's charcoal in the bottom,
mm-hmm.
you rub it all over your teeth look hideous and black, then you like brush it and rinse it off. You're going to brush it. You're going to brush it in. You're going to smear the charcoal all over your teeth. And then it washes off and it cleans your teeth.
Yep.
Which is still better than the 16th century version for teeth whitening, which is why it was an insult to tell people that their teeth were white.
PM.
The first pee of the morning has the highest concentration of ammonia. So when you said someone's teeth were white, what you really said was they're drinking their pee. Because ammonia will whiten your teeth. However, it rots away the enamel super quick, and then you run out. It'll eat your teeth away.
Oh my
so God. Do not use ammonia to whiten your teeth, because you will lose your teeth. And do not use your pee either, unless you're Bear Grylls. Oh, my teeth are getting yellow. I better drink my own pee.
A little backwards, but whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so our money-saving tips are going to be continued to the next episode.
One more.
One more?
One more. So
all I have to do to get one more out of you is try to wrap up the segment.
Pretty much. If you do use, like I said before, like a Mach 3 razor, shaver razor or a cheap disposable shaving razor, and you want to get a few more months out of it,
mm-hmm.
before you shave with it, every single time, run it down a pair of jeans downwards, like so that the blades are being drawn across backwards,
mm-hmm.
so the opposite direction that you would shave with, 20 times. Turn it around, bring it up, once again going the opposite way that you would shave with, 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
It'll make that crappy shaving razor last months longer.
I'm sorry, I'm going to have to call bullshit on this one. I've done that, it dulls them down quick.
I disagree. Me and some friends of mine have done it, and it's I use one for 6 months that way.
Well, I've done it. I've tried it. I got you to demonstrate. It still dulls the fucking razors down.
I use a Mach 3 branded shaving razor. You use the cheapest disposable single blade shaving razor.
Yes, because I was trying to save money, except now I don't even use razors.
Yeah. Or you use an electric one?
Yeah, no, I don't even use an electric razor. I use like electric hair clippers and just like every couple
down,
of weeks
yeah.
just trim down. I mean,
yeah.
Well, my workplace. I can get away with like a one or two day stubble. They don't care.
Yeah, I do whatever I want at my place. I'm gonna shave like Wu-Tang, like bolts of like lightning in my beard or whatever. But yeah, if you have a decent quality razor, that will work. But that's we were talking about the nutrition punk as you eat a Pringles.
Yes.
So if you guys remember a few weeks ago, I was telling Mike for his diabetes. Let me tell you about his diabetes. He should start drinking bulletproof coffee. And Mike was like, I can't drink bulletproof coffee. I hate the taste of black coffee, and I can't do stevia. To which my mind was like, you're focusing on the problem, not the solution. Not, I can't do this. How can I do this? So I knew in the back of my head there's a sweetener, not artificial, a alternative sweetener with no calories called xylitol that's not supposed to have an aftertaste. It's supposed to be better for people. So stevia, apparently, to some people, has a bitter aftertaste. Mike is one of those people. To me, I don't taste a bitter aftertaste. Or if I do, I actually like bitter, so it doesn't bother me as much.
It's not bitter. It tastes a little. I mean, it's the same aftertaste I get from drinking, like, a Diet Pepsi.
Which, yeah, I don't know what that tastes like, so I can't even. I've been drinking diet stuff for so long, even though I've basically cut back most of it now. So, anyway, there's this Amish-type store down the street, and they happen to have, like, bagged bulk goods. And
the Country View Market, I will give them a shout out.
Yeah.
I love the Country View Market.
They are awesome. Probably will go in there today. So they had bagged bulk goods, and one of the bulk goods they had was xylitol. And I really don't ever see it anywhere. You know, Walmart's, big box stores, no one has xylitol. Whole Foods and Trader Joe probably does. Probably. But no one else does. It was fairly expensive. It was like $4 a pound. The bag I bought was like $7.80 later or whatever. Get back here. I make a bulletproof coffee using, like, God, 4 teaspoons of this stuff.
It's only about 50% as sweet as sugar.
So it took more. It took more to sweeten it. What did it taste like, Mike?
It tasted like sugar.
It Yeah, Mike was like, this tastes like a Starbucks coffee. This is delicious.
I tried some straight out the fucking bag, just on my finger, and it straight up tasted like fucking sugar. But the coffee, I mean, it did. It tasted like something that you'd buy at Starbucks.
Yeah, I actually don't really like the taste of it that much. Again,
no aftertaste either.
No aftertaste. It just tastes kind of weird to me. But yeah, it doesn't have an aftertaste.
Well, that's because you're so used to fucking stevia and your other artificial sweeteners at this point that something that tastes that much like sugar tastes weird to you.
Kind of does, yeah.
Because, I mean, it straight up tastes like... I mean, I would say, I mean, the differentiation is like 1% difference, but it tastes like fucking sugar.
Right. And so Mike loves it, and I'm probably going to give him the rest of the bag that I have so he can make coffees and stuff.
I will give people one warning about...
No, hold on. I'm talking about that part.
Oh, you bastard.
So, I noticed something, and I was going to look it up and confirm it, and then Mike, when I told Mike about it, he's like, oh, yeah, when I looked it up, that happened. So, I came home one morning, and I made myself a bulletproof tea of some sort, Earl Grey tea.
And Earl Grey, bulletproof.
Yeah, to make it, I took like 4 tablespoons or something, put it in there, and then afterwards, I had explosive diarrhea. And then, like, one other time I do it, I had explosive diarrhea, and I'm like, I think the xylitol is giving me explosive diarrhea.
By this point, I had already looked up on Wikipedia and a couple other places all about xylitol.
So yeah.
What the benefits and the downsides. Literally, the only downside to xylitol is if you're using it steadily for, like, 3 weeks, it's going to give you diarrhea. I mean, you're going to have very loose stools, often explosive, for those first 3 weeks, but after about 3 weeks, your body acclimates to it, and you stop getting diarrhea.
No, I...
But you have to endure for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm talking like...
If you use more than 60 milligrams or 60 yeah. grams or something like that a day, it has the potential of giving you diarrhea, which it did with me.
Yeah, I was blowing... It was like peeing out of your asshole for like 10 minutes straight. I'm like, I hate this. No.
You get used to it.
I'm not...
I mean, your body gets used to it, and it stops happening.
Stevia doesn't make me explode from my ass.
Ugh.
So.
Oh, yeah, I got a bottle of Stevia at work that I just threw away yesterday.
Should have gave it to me.
It was expired.
Don't care.
Yeah, I know.
I'm going to go to the day-old Stevia store.
And on that bombshell...
I'm going to start being like every single 80s cartoon ever, and like at the end of every episode, we'll say something stupid, and we'll just like laugh, like, ha, 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 ha. Every single 80s thing ever. Like even Kung Fury did that.
Of course they did.
I was the other morning I was gonna call Cocktail Mike and I'd be like, as soon as he answered, like the day after Father's Day, I'd be like, Mike, you're the best partner I've ever had. You're like a father to me. Because I made Serenity watch it, and Serenity, if you guys haven't seen it, it's on YouTube and Netflix. I was like, Net Fury! Watch Kung Fury. It's funny. It's every, like, 80s trope ever, like, just used, and it's funny. Hitler was a great Kung Fu master.
He was one of the greatest Kung Fu masters. I mean, the movie opens up with this gang of skateboarders using a skateboard to flip a cop car 500 feet in the air and then blowing it up.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking arcade machine, like... Killing people with... Yeah, it was,
he's a cop and his partner's a triceratops.
He was the best partner I ever had. Until I was struck by lightning and bitten by a cobra at the same time, I came back as a Kung Fury master.
That is a must-watch.
Yeah.
That is the Couch Potato Mike survival movie of the week.
Yep.
And on that bombshell, it is time to end, so...
No bombshells!
No, we're bombshelling.
Yeah. You're right.
So for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James, sick one, Burnett.
Tune in next time, same bat play time, same bat channel.
For more tips to DIY to save money, use guys.